If there's one attitude families are guilty of more than any other, when it comes to mothers, it's presumption. You know, taking them for granted. Being nearly blind on occasion to the load that moms carry on a daily basis. This was reinforced in my mind a few days ago as I was thumbing through a row of crazy greeting cards at a local store. Time and again, the joke in the card drew its humor from this obvious attitude that pervades most households. One card read, "Forget the housework, Mom, it's your day. Besides, you can always do double duty and catch up on Monday." But my favorite was a great big card that looked like a third grader had printed it. On it was a little boy with a dirty face and torn pants pulling a wagon load of toys. On the front, it read, "Mom, I remember the little prayer you used to say for me every day." Then on the inside, it read, "God help you if you do that again." Country Western singer Jimmy Dean, a number of years ago, did a number that always left me with a big knot in my throat. It's entitled, "I Owe You." Now, in the song, a man is looking through his wallet and comes across a number of long-standing IOUs to his mother, which he names one by one. Don't remember the song? Then take a listen and remember.
You know, most people look through their wallets or their pocketbooks, and way down at the bottom, past the credit cards and baby pictures and so on, you usually find a little old piece of dog-eared poetry. I was cleaning out my wallet the other day, and I ran across a whole bunch of IOUs, some of them 35 years overdue. And you know the funny thing? All these IOUs are owed to one person, and I kind of felt like that maybe now would be a pretty good time for an accounting. Mom, I sure hope you're listening. Sweet lady, I owe you for so many things. A lot of services. Like night watchman, for instance. Lying awake nights listening for coughs and cries and creaking floorboards. And me coming in too late. Boy, you had the eye of an eagle and the roar of a lion. But you always had a heart as big as a house. I owe you for services like short order cook, chef, baker. For making sirloin out of hamburger and turkey out of tuna fish. And big old strapping boys out of leftovers. I owe you for cleaning services. The daily scrubbing of face and ears, all work done by hand. And for the frequent dusting of a small boy's pants to try to make sure that he led a spotless life. And for washing and ironing that no laundry could ever do. For drying the tears of childhood and ironing out the problems of growing up. I owe you for services as a bodyguard, for protecting me from the terrors of thunderstorms and nightmares. And too many green apples. And Lord knows I owe you for medical attention, for nursing me through measles, mumps, bruises, bumps, splinters, and spring fever. Oh, let's not forget medical advice. Important things like, if you keep on scratching at it, it'll never get well, or if you cross your eyes, they're gonna stick like that. And probably the most important advice of them all. Boy, you be sure you got on clean underwear in case you're in an accident. And I owe you for veterinarian services, for feeding every lost dog that I dragged home at the end of the rope. And for healing the pains of puppy love. And I owe you for entertainment. Entertainment that kept the household going during some pretty rough times. And for wonderful productions at Christmas, 4th of July, birthdays. And for making make-believe come true. And you did it all on such a limited budget. I owe you for construction work, for building kites and confidence, hopes and dreams, and somehow you made them all touch the sky. And for cementing together a family so it would stand the worst kinds of shocks and blows. And for laying down a good, strong foundation to build a life on. I owe you for carrying charges, for carrying me on your books, for the necessities of life that a growing boy somehow, they just gotta have. Things like a pair of high-top boots with a little pocket on the side for a jackknife. And one thing, Mom, I'll never forget. When there were two pieces of pie and three hungry people, you were always the one that decided, well, I'm not really that hungry anyhow. These are just a few of the things for which payment is long overdue. The person that I owe him to worked very, very cheap. She managed by simply doing without a whole lot of things that she needed herself. My IOUs add up to more than I could ever hope to repay. But you know the nicest thing about it all? That I know that she had marked the entire bill paid in full for just one kiss and four little words. Mom, I love you.
I want to read from 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 26. Let's call it 26b. It reads as follows. I'll come back to it in just a moment and we'll develop it. The question is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, she being the mother, she answered, it is well. Now I'll come back in just a moment and we'll develop that. First, I want to read a quote to you. And then I want you to see if you can tell me who said this. A small child waits with impatience the arrival home of a parent. She wishes to relate some sandbox experience. She is excited to share the thrill that she has known that particular day at school. The time comes, the parent arrives, beaten down by the stresses of the workplace. The parent often replies, "Not now, honey. I'm busy. Go watch television." The most often spoken words in the American household today are the words, "Go watch television." If not now, when? Later. But later never comes for many, and the parent fails to communicate at the very earliest of ages. We give her designer clothes and computer toys, but we do not give her what she wants the most, which is our time. Now she is 15 and has a glassy look in her eyes. "Honey, do we need to sit down and talk?" Too late. Love has passed by. You know who said that? The person who wrote those words was Robert Keeshan, better known to America as Captain Kangaroo. I think Keeshan was onto something. There are many things in life that cause stress. We all know that. But there are few that can break the heart like the loss of a child. To be sure, there are many ways to lose children. We can lose them by a tragic death. We can lose them by ignoring them. We can lose them due to broken relationships. And we can lose them by failing to develop the strength of character that they're going to desperately need in this old world to resist evil. In our scripture reading, that was really a very brief reading of it, I want to encourage each of you listening to go back and read the entire text from verse 8 through verse 26. But in our scripture reading, Elisha, the prophet of God, didn't really know what had happened, but he guessed something was not right, and so he asks a series of questions. This Shunammite woman wouldn't have traveled all this distance to find him if something hadn't been wrong. So Elisha sent his servant out to greet this well-to-do woman with three questions. I read them at the outset. They are, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? On this Mother's Day, I would suggest to you that these three questions are as relevant now as they were when they were spoken almost 3,000 years ago. Let's take a look at the story and the three questions it raises. Elisha was a fearless prophet of the Lord. He spent much of his time wandering the land and proclaiming the word of God. Now, one place he visited repeatedly was Shunem. Since this small village was located in the center of the country, it was kind of a hub, headquarters, from which to conduct his ministry. He was there so often that one of the couples in the village came to know him, and they would invite him to dinner. So she grew fond of him. In fact, she asked her husband, "Can't we make him a small room up on the roof?" And they did. "And can't we put some furniture in it, like a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp?" And they did. And he felt very welcome there. This was going to be the second mile for a man who obviously was a prophet of God, but for all intents and purposes was a stranger to them. You talk about going the extra. They went the extra mile for him. So lavish was their hospitality that Elisha was so thankful and so moved with gratitude that he calls her into the room. She stands in the doorway, and Elisha says to this barren woman, "You will have a son in your arms next year. You're going to hold a son." She said, don't do this. Don't mislead your servant," she said. You can almost detect the pain in her heart as she responds in that way. "Don't mislead your servant, O man of God." But you know what? A year passes. The Bible says, and just as Elijah had said, a boy was born. Everyone lives happily ever after. Right? No. Unfortunately, life just doesn't live out that way, does it? One day, as the young boy is out in the fields with his father, he suffers what some believe is a heat stroke. He's taken home to his mother, and there he dies in her lap. You can almost anticipate her words to Elisha. "I told you so. I told you not to mislead me." That leads me to question number one. And as I said a moment ago, you ought to go back and reread that whole account. That's just a very brief overview of it. But it leads to this question. And it's the question that I'm asking you today, mothers. Is it well with you? We're considering a theme this morning. We're simply calling, "Is it well with your family?" And it starts with you, Mom. This is Mother's Day. And so we're starting with you. Considering the enormous task that's been placed upon you and the expectations that you live with every day, I ask you again, is it well with you? I've said it often. Let me say it here. So go the mothers in society, so goes the society. If the woman of the land gives into temptation and lets their morals and character slip, then it's not going to be long for the rest of the land to go with her. William Ross Wallace echoed this truth when he said, quote, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." In other words, kingdoms are not built by men upon thrones, but by the mother from the crib. Children will live out the life they see reflected in their mother's eyes. They will live out the life they feel given in the touch of their mother's hands. And they will live out the life they hear described in the words of their mother's lips. This woman in 2 Kings, she's a well-to-do woman. She's obviously a woman who has nurturing abilities and has a nurturing disposition. You can see that in the way she treated Elisha. She respected her husband, and sought his advice and his help on projects around the home. She was faithful to her husband, despite their lack of children. She obviously would make a good mother, but she had no children. Now, let me ask you, what is required of a woman to make her a good mother? Well, I ran across the following from a panel of experts who were asked to complete some sentences about their moms. Now, what made them experts was the one thing they all had in common. They were all in kindergarten. Even though these are the words of 5-year-olds, I think the qualities they recognize in their moms are the qualities needed in all moms. Here are the sentences they were given, and then the kids' answers. Number one, "My mom is best at," and here are their responses: "Feeding the dog, making the bed, driving, cleaning, running, riding the two-wheeler, watering the garden." Number two, "If I had enough money, I'd buy her," here are the kids' response, flowers, a car, a necklace, a brand new fan, a kitten, a diamond ring, a big pack of bubble gum. Question three, or statement three, it makes me feel good inside when mom says, and the response is, I love you, good job, dinner time, you look handsome, I'll buy you something. Statement number four, my mom is as pretty as a butterfly, ballerina, mouse, princess, my brother's goose, gold ring, a clean horse. Statement five, by the way, one of the most memorable comments from the children on Father's Day was, Daddy gets tired out from chasing mommy. There's a word in that list that stands out to me. One that is one of the most important issues of our time. The child who said, it makes me feel good inside when mom says, dinner time. This child was onto something, don't you think? You know, I saw a statistic recently that showed that a family that eats together at least three times a week, and by the way, that can include McDonald's and other fast food places. It doesn't have to be at home always, but a family that does that, eats together at least three times a week, has a 45% chance, 45% greater chance than their children, that their children will not use drugs. Think of that, a 45% greater chance that the kids won't use drugs. Now, don't miss the point. It's not that there's something mystical that occurs when we eat. It simply suggests that as we eat together, we participate in a basic support group. Now, here's the key. We need to feel secure. We need to feel a part of a family where there is acceptance. Moms, you well know there are no manuals that come with parenting, but it does seem to make common sense that we need to get back to some basics like listening and being there for one another. I don't care what the experience was in our lives and raising our girls, whatever they went through, whether it was tennis, spelling bee, church plays, piano practice, whatever it was, we tried our best growing up, when our girls were growing up, to be there for them because we felt like that was important. Mothers, let me ask you, is it well with you? I ran across a job description for a mother this week. It was written by Irma Bombeck, the late Irma Bombeck. Here it is. Wanted. Woman to raise, educate, and entertain child for a minimum of 20 years. Be prepared. Be prepared, she says, to eat egg if the yolk breaks. Receive anything in hand. Child spits out and take knots out of wet shoestrings with teeth. Must be expert in making a costume for bad. A tooth in the dental play and picking bathroom locks with shish kebab scour. Hours, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, including holidays, comprehensive dental plan, vacation, medical benefits, and a company car negotiable. Moms, the hours are endless. The talents you must have are many. The patience endless. And the financial pay is awful. Let me ask you again. Is it well with you? Here's the second question. Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your husband? Is your husband living up to his family responsibilities? Now, make no bones about it. The father's the head of the family. And the father must answer one day to his attentiveness to that responsibility. But oftentimes, it's the mother who must prod the man to take the title seriously. Did you notice in the reading that the child, or in the overview of it, that the child was brought to the father? Did you pick up on that? If you go back to text, which I hope you'll do, and look at 2 Kings 4, 18 and 19, the Bible says the child grew one day and went out to his father, who was with the reapers. And the boy says in verse 19, my head, he said to the father. Now watch this. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. Carry him to his mother. The father said to a servant? The father said to the servant, why didn't the father carry the boy? Why is he telling a servant to do what obviously is his job? It looks as though the boy had maybe fainted. Some believe he had a heat stroke. It says the servant had to lift him up. The boy wasn't simply complaining. The boy was seriously ill. Heat stroke, possibly. The father keeps right on working, harvesting the field while the servant carries the limp body of the boy back to his mother. What in the name of all that is holy is this man doing? I can hear so many boys crying out and so many girls crying out for their dads. Dad, my head, my head. Dad, my heart. Dad, my soul, my soul. And what do the fathers do? They keep right on working. There's a true story about a young man who was to be sentenced to the penitentiary. The judge had known the boy from childhood. He was well acquainted with his dad, a famous legal scholar and the author of an exhaustive study entitled The Law of Trusts. The judge asked the young man, "Do you remember your father?" "I remember him well, Your Honor," came the reply. Then, trying to probe the offender's conscience, the judge said, "As you were about to be sentenced and as you think of your wonderful dad, what do you remember most clearly about him?" There was a pause. Then the judge received an answer he had not expected. Here's what the boy said. "I remember when I went to him for advice, he looked up at me from the book he was writing and said, 'Run along, boy, I'm busy.' When I went to him for companionship, he turned me away saying, 'Run along, son, this book must be finished.' Your Honor, you remember him as a great lawyer. I remember him as a lost friend." The magistrate muttered to himself, "Alas, finished the book, but lost the boy." Let me ask you, Mom, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your family? What's going on at home? Do you know we're involved in a culture war, a war that is robbing us of basic, fundamental truths? Tom Bettle has done a good job talking about this culture war that's going on, and it's happening right under our nose. The culture, he writes, really refers to a widely held set of beliefs about the purpose of life and the way in which society should be organized as a consequence. Those beliefs in the United States, as in the West, generally were for a long time broadly Judeo-Christian. Those who do not share these underlying religious beliefs were nonetheless, for the most part, willing to assent to them and to accept the resulting framework of law and custom. Abortion is wrong, should be illegal, homosexual behavior is shameful and should be frowned on. At best, closeted sexual intercourse should await matrimony and thereafter be confined to one spouse. Listen, all those beliefs have for a long time been under attack and have now been very widely discarded. Do you hear what he's saying? William Bennett put it beautifully. He said, during the same 30-year period, this is from 1960 to 1990. Listen to this, from 60 to 90. In the same 30-year period, there has been a 560% increase in violent crime. More than a 400% increase in illegitimate births. A quadrupling in divorce rates, a tripling of the percentage of children living in single-parent homes, more than a 200% increase in teenage suicide, and a drop of almost 80 points in the SAT scores. Bennett says, this country has changed. We're being defeated, not by outside threats, but by our own choices. We are hemorrhaging internally, and if the bleeding isn't stopped, this nation will not survive. Daniel Patrick Moynihan observed this fact in 1965. Listen, this is important. He says the problem is male leadership in the home. He says, and he writes, and I quote, "From the wild Irish slums of the 19th century eastern seaboard to the riot-torn suburbs of Los Angeles, there is one unmistakable lesson in American history: a community that allows a large number of young men and women to grow up in broken families, dominated by women, never acquiring any stable relationship to male authority, never acquiring any set of rational expectations about the future. That community asks for and gets chaos." These questions are valid, I'm asking. Mothers, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is he fulfilling the role in the home, his God-given role that he should be fulfilling. Third and final question. Is it well with your child? Notice the devotion of this mother. She was not about to let this little boy of hers die without a fight. He had died in her arms, and she refused to let him go. Now, I know that some moms can be pretty shrewd when it comes to their children. Children need to be protected, and this becomes so ingrained in us that we tend to keep protecting them even after they're grown men and women. But at some point, we need to let them fend for themselves. It's been nearly 45 years ago now, an effort to beat back a rising crime rate among juveniles in the Houston, Texas area, the police department undertook a massive public relations campaign. Billboards were placed all over the city with pertinent messages to parents about raising children. One of the most well-received messages was a pamphlet entitled, 12 Rules for Raising Delinquent Children. Now listen to these. Listen, Mom. Number one, begin with infancy to give the child everything he wants. In this way, he will grow up to believe the world owes him a living. Number two, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him. This will make him think he's cute. Number three, never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 21, then let him decide for himself. Number four, avoid the use of wrong. He may develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later when he is arrested for stealing a car that society is against him and he is being persecuted. Number five, pick up everything he leaves lying around. Do everything for him so that he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility on others. Number six, let him read any printed matter he can get his hands on. Be careful that the silverware and drinking glasses are sterilized, but let his mind feast on garbage. Quarrel frequently, number seven, in the presence of your children. In this way, they won't be so shocked when the home is broken up later. Number eight, give a child all the spending money he wants. Never let him earn his own. Number nine, satisfy his every craving for food, drink, and comfort. See that every sensual desire is gratified. Number 10, take his part against neighbors, teachers, and policemen. They're all prejudiced against your child. Number 11, when he gets into real trouble, apologize for yourself by saying, I could never do anything with him. And number 12, prepare for a life of grief. You will be likely to have it. Here's the good news. It doesn't have to be that way. When you go back and read the story, you'll see that she got her son back. Elisha raised him to life again. She was devoted to her son, but more than that, she was devoted to God. There are so many things in this life that cause stress, and I know the demands are great, but remember, children will live out the life they see reflected in their mother's eyes. They will live out the life they feel given in the touch of their mother's hand, and they will live out the life they hear described in their words of their mother's lips. It's a pretty tall order, isn't it, Mom? Teaching your children their heritage, teaching them to love God in Christ and helping them grow in that knowledge. I ask you, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Happy Mother's Day. He would want me to remind you, until next Lord's Day, remember, keep looking to Jesus.